Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And of course, Tommy's sitting right there.
If
you're watching on Zoom, I just pointed at him and he's right there.
We could see each other. This is the first time over the course of doing this show that we're remotely doing this show, just the two of us, where we can see each other. We've been doing this for a decade plus this way.
Right.
15 years right. At this point this way. This is the first time we've done it.
And can I say, looking at the two of us, the way that we look is the reason that this is the first time that we've done it.
Yes.
I don't know why you people want to pay for this, because we look like two dudes that just roll out of bed. That's what we look like.
And it's not far from the truth. I joked. I put a shirt on. I'm still wearing like shorts that I woke up in this morning.
If I roll back, I'll be honest with you, I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't blow the TV thing, but if I roll back, I'm wearing not shorts. I'm wearing fuzzy pajama pants.
Nice.
And we're kind of in the same zone. And I feel bad that you had to put a shirt on. I feel bad, because that's kind of the cool thing about living in your own house. You just sort of hang out however you want to hang out.
Yeah.
And
the fun of podcasting is nobody can see us, and so I never had to worry about it.
Right.
People can see us. So.
And now we're worried about it, because
now we're worried about it.
Yeah. I'm worried about things that I've never been worried about. I listen to
I watch some football, the reflection on your poster.
Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's awesome. That's how you know that the NFL has officially begun, is that it's snowing in Denver.
Yes.
And your team's playing football, and they're not getting blown out. So
that's a blessing. My not very good team.
As I was saying, well, I'm worried about stuff that I've never been worried about before, because I was listening to a Dave Matthews live album that I've never heard, and he told a story about being in a meeting with a record executive that had a booger and didn't realize it. And so I'm real conscious about, do I have something going on here? But not much going on. We're just kind of chilling, having a good time.
Yes.
Lots and lots of video games for me, so we're going to talk about that. I know you've got stuff going on as well, so what's up with you?
Man, busy work stuff. I mean, it's that time of year that works just nuts. I have played a little bit of games. I'm really excited to talk about a game that I've been playing for the past really probably about a month now. It's been a little while.
I'm very excited about one that I've already talked about also. So
yeah. We'll get into those momentarily. But otherwise, you know, taking care of a little girl and surviving. That's about it over here.
Is she? I don't know what the word is. Not sick at this point.
She is right now at this moment not sick, which is a rarity at this point. It's a good thing. We have been for the past 2 weeks at least, the three of us, just like trading a cold back and forth. And so at some point, one of us is sick. If not two or three of us in our household are sick. So right now, I think today I am feeling better than I've been feeling for the past week or so. The sexy sidekick, I think, is doing pretty good. Genevieve's feeling good. So I think we're about as healthy as we've been for a while right now. Thank goodness.
So
it won't last. It'll be in a couple of days. We'll all be sick again. But for today, we're feeling pretty good.
So I have been talking to a friend of mine, and she was asking me how everybody over here was doing with the virus and all of that. And I said, we're good. We're good. And she's like, it's all around you. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of is, you know, because I work in a church that is still open, amazingly. And of course, you got that going on there, and you got to be careful. And so she's a little worried about that. And but I just realized that we're at the point of the year where you and I always get sick. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of paranoid about that. we have these throat things that we do that just sort of, we just don't feel good for a couple months of the year. And I'm not looking forward to that, but it happens every year to both of us.
Yeah, so. And with COVID, it makes it all that more terrifying to be sick right now.
Yes.
I've had sinus surgery. People have been listening to the show for a long time. You probably remember this several years ago, but it was right at E3. And so I did, we did E3 one year right after I had surgery, which was really fun. So I was on painkillers the whole time.
Yeah.
That said, I now, basically every time I get a cold, I also get a sinus infection, like
right.
On the same side over here. I just, every single time I get any kind of significant cold, it turns into a sinus infection. And so, yeah, that happens more than once a year come fall and winter. And so,
well, know. and the thing is like, we've been doing this long enough that it doesn't really matter how either one of us feel. Like, we have no fear of getting sick. And so we just sort of do what we do anyway, whether you're around or I'm around or whatever. And a whole lot of the time, it doesn't sound real good. And I'm thinking now that we're doing this, it's probably not going to look good either. So
all snotty and stuff. And fun thing with like the mustache and beard and everything, whenever I blow my nose, like it just like it's like all over my face. So that'll be something to look forward to as soon as I have a snotty nose on one of these shows.
So
I get to see like little dribbles in here.
So we're talking about this new thing that we're doing, but I don't think we've actually said it out loud. We've said it a couple of times, but if you're new to the show, this is our first show, Tommy and I, on Zoom. We've been doing this for 15, almost 16 years. This is the first time that we've done it remotely on video, and it's weird.
It is weird.
It's almost like being in the same room, but not quite. Like, you're right there, and it's
like,
cool.
Visually, we can see each other. But like sound wise, we're still just walking all over each other as we do. the nature of the beast. So, all that said, let's talk about the show for a little bit. If you would like to see us, you could do that by going over to the Patreon page. Big ups to the Patreon guys. We have Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavasis, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Try to do that all in one breath now. Thank each and every one of y'all. Hope y'all are having fun watching us. If anybody chooses to watch us, I'm not.
Oh, they'll watch this. They don't like when we play games, but they like to see us, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I wouldn't be me either. Anyway, here we are in all of our glory. If you would like to see us as well, go by gaminguncensored.com, click on that, become a patron link, and you can see us.
I don't know why, but we'll take your money.
Here we are.
Yeah.
That said, we got some good news on the show today. We're going to talk about launch titles for both the Series X and the PlayStation 5. No shockers here, but just to because we're right around the corner from launches, we've got basically finalized roster since we're talking about. We've got some streaming news, xCloud, and how it's going to come to iOS, which is exciting. We'll talk about that a little bit. Some Cyberpunk news. Lots of Cyberpunk stuff happened this week, and so we'll get to that. A little bit of VR news, a little bit of politics if we get to it, a little bit of politics meeting the world of gaming, which is which is always fun and stuff. Yeah, we've got quite a bit of stuff. Before we get into all that, we need to talk about some video games. I know you got one you want to talk about. I got one I want to talk about. So I'll let you start us off really quickly.
Well, okay, really quickly. I'm not going to talk a whole ton because I talked about it last time we were on the air, but still playing Horizon. I just have one very quick discussion point that I want to have with you, because I sent you a text early in the week and I said Horizon Zero Dawn is an extraordinarily underrated RPG, and man, I got 53 hours in it, and it's deep. Like it's It's not Diablo deep, but it's right there. It's right there. Like the thing that got me was a couple of things I did. I had this thing when I play games now where I go on Google, and for whatever game I'm playing, I look up the what to do first thing, you know, because every side has the what to do first thing. And so I did two things that really felt bizarre at the beginning, and that was I upgraded a couple of my bags. I'm trying to upgrade the satchels as fast as I possibly can. And I've been very weird about my skill points, and I got all the way down to the Tinker perk, and I'm not even level 20. Which allows me to swap mods in and out of armor and weapons and whatnot, which that is, I've already been playing with that. That's a game changer, because if you are dealing with something that has an issue with fire or ice or a certain element, then you swap out the gear, and it's nice. I like it. And same goes for defense with your armor. And I didn't understand why Horizon had so many armor slots, because you got a bag with all these armor slots. And some dude on the internet was, okay, if you're new, you have to change your armor. Like, you can't have, like, one piece of armor that you wear the whole game, because you're going to get smoked. And he was right. So I have the best stealth armor you can get, and then I have some, like, battle armor that I'd swap out when I'm really going to get into it. And, man, it's deep. And I don't know... We played it so long ago, you probably don't even remember. But I don't know that either one of us ever noticed it back then. It there's just so much RPG there.
Yeah. And the whole game, I mean, the fact that it's built around really a stealth gameplay style. You don't have to play it stealth, but that's, you know, that's what they want you to do with it. That's right. How it feels best. Like it kind of leans into that. It's not an RPG. It's kind of the Mass Effect syndrome,
right?
Where like you can't call it an RPG, but it has enough RPG elements that it makes it a really fun, you know, action game, whatever you would action adventure title, whatever you would call that. Like, it's a lot deeper RPG elements than something like Uncharted is, or, you know, like take it to other, even something like Last of Us, pulling just Naughty Dog here, but think of Sony exclusives, you know, like it does a good job of weaving in those elements in a fun way without it being like, okay, now you got to manage every single stat forever to be able to navigate this game. Like, it's balanced enough that I think if you're not an RPG person, it feels pretty approachable still. And if you are an RPG person, that it feels like it gives you that little scratch of that itch. Very similarly, again, to kind of what I think Mass Effect does, or at least early on did, and Mass Effect kind of gradually got more and more distant from that. Just, but it reminds me of that kind of setup.
Just one more quick thing, and you experienced this the middle part of the week. You got a late night text from Duff that said, "Look what I bought," and I'm normally awake because I don't sleep. You were probably awake because you have a little girl that doesn't sleep.
Yep.
So, but I routinely get a couple of those a week from Duff, and the last couple that I've gotten have just been screenshots of Verizon going, "This is so awesome!" and I got to be honest, I feel the same way. I'm 53 hours in. I'm not even a tenth of the way through the game. When he bought it and sent it to me, he jokingly said, "This is the next 200 hours of your life." He wasn't kidding. It's going to take 200 hours. One thing I want to post to you, which I found interesting, and I think I agree. One of the texts that he sent this week said, "I'm not touching Cyberpunk until this is done." And I'm 53 hours in, and I got to be honest, I think I agree. Up until this point, it was going to be about, hey, I need to upgrade my gear or do whatever. But now it's about, I got this game that I'm really into that works really well. And so the two of us may not touch Cyberpunk until that's over.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm dropping everything the moment Cyberpunk hits. that's what I'm playing, which means, and this is, I'll get into the game that I've been playing here in just a second, but it means I really, really got to get back to The Last of Us because I need to finish that.
Yes.
Before Cyberpunk. That's, I had at one point hope that I could get The Last of Us knocked out and get Final Fantasy VII knocked out stupidly before Cyberpunk gets here. At this point, it's just like, I got to get The Last of Us done, and then we'll hope to get back to Final Fantasy VII at some point. But that all happened. That plan fell apart because I ended up playing another game, and that game is Hades. I'm going to talk about Hades for just a second. That game I anticipated us talking about a lot, but I've just fallen in love with this game. It's Supergiant Games that did Bastion and Transistor and Pyre.
Right.
I love Bastion. We've talked about that a long time ago when that first came out. That's been over 10 years ago now, I think, that Bastion came out. Just a wonderful indie title. And these guys have stayed indie, but like are like super indie,
they're
maybe,
successful.
Whatever you call them.
They're successful indie.
They're a big deal. They carry clout now because of that. And so Hades has been in early access for months and months and months, whatever it's been. Finally got released a month ago or a month and a half ago, whatever it is. And I just heard so much about it, both from guys listen to the show and from other podcasts I listened to that were just going on and on about it. I said, I'm going to spend money on this thing and pick it up. It's probably going to come free on some service at some point. But I love Bastion so much. I've seen people comparing it to Diablo. It's a roguelike, which is something I'm into, and so like it just combines a lot of things. I was like, this will probably scratch an itch, and it did, like crazy. So the kind of premise of the game is you're the son of Hades in hell, in Hades,
okay,
trying to escape, and so the whole thing is like you're trying to get out. And so it's procedurally generated. There's like three main like worlds, four main worlds, I guess. And so you just go until you die, And then you start over and you go until you die and you start over. It's a roguelike. And so it's this kind of, you just keep repeating it. And at first, that just sounds brutal. And for the first little bit of playing the game, I was like, I don't know if this is going to keep my attention. But there's just something about it that I can't quite put my finger on. Just the gameplay that's really, really addictive. That I just said, okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Okay, I'm going to try it one more time. And, and then one more time. And it got to me, you know, that way. And then at 30 times after playing it, because it keeps count for you, I finally finished. I finally got through, finished, beat, you know, the last boss in the game. And then right after that, you die again and you get to start all over. And so it's just kind of like, even if when you finish the game,
so
like you get to keep going.
Just to explain to people, if you're new to this kind of thing, the reason you replay it is because you might have gotten a skill or an item or something the last playthrough that helps you. And I assume this works the same way.
Yeah, so you get, like, there's both kind of power-ups that only affect the run that you're on, and then there's, like, items that you can use to, like, buff yourself permanently. And so it's a combination of both getting those power-ups on the individual playthrough and getting the buffs that you can use over time. And so you play as Hades' son. Like, all the other kind of gods of Olympus are, like, characters that help you, and they give you boons, which is the kind of power-ups that you get on each one of these runs. And so you run into them kind of randomly. Again, it's all procedurally generated, and so no two playthroughs are the same. You can't have like a constant build. It's all kind of up to chance, which is what keeps it fun. It keeps it kind of different, so you have to learn how to play differently each time. You unlock a handful of weapons, and so you can take different weapons into it. It's kind of Diablo ish in the kind of gameplay, like it's a bunch of mobs coming at you, and you're kind of, it's a little hectic, crazy, just trying to wipe out bunches of mobs, and then there's big boss fights. You don't get the gear. It's not a looter like that, and so you don't get, if you, like, you love the gear aspect of Diablo, it's not going to do that for you. But just the kind of top-down kind of crazy gameplay, it does that really well. But it's so addicting, because if you make it all the way through, for me, it takes me about half an hour to do a complete run to break out. And for me, that's so perfect because of how I play games. We've talked about this a lot. Is I do it while multitasking and while working. And so one half-hour run for me takes like 2 hours of real time to do, because I'm also working and doing other stuff during that time. But it feels like I can accomplish something in a relatively short amount of time. And so I've been sitting here in front of my, you know, computer going, okay, I need to pick up The Last of Us, but I could just do one Hades run really quick, you know? And then that's what gets me. And I go and do a Hades run and I'm like, okay, now I really got to play The Last of Us, but I could do one more Hades run. I really want to try it with the bow this time instead of the sword, this or whatever it is, you know, like you get to switch out the weapons, it's a different playthrough. And it's just, I can't put my finger exactly on what's so addicting about it, but it's just been impossible for me to put down. And there's very few games that do that to me where I just can't put them down. And this, for not being a big AAA title, it's so well done. The music's great. The voice is great. They just killed it. It's so well polished. Kudos to Supergiant Games. It's just phenomenal.
So it's kind of mind-bending what you just said, because I feel that way about Horizon. It's like, okay, I got 10 minutes. I can go do something. Because I told you that Horizon, which unexpectedly, since you brought up Diablo, Horizon is very grindy like Diablo was. The drops are random. So if you're looking for a certain mob, if you're looking for a certain mod, it's not like, okay, go kill this monster and you get this mod to put in your armor. No, you might have to kill that monster 50 times to get what you're looking for. And I've done that. That's a lot of my 53 hours. It's like, okay, I got 10 minutes. I need to go get this certain thing, whether it's a boar skin or a fox bone or something to upgrade my pouches. Like, it does that same thing. I got 5 minutes, I got 10 minutes, I got, and the same way, the voice acting's good. It's all good.
But it's a AAA title. Like, that's the difference I'm trying to make. Hades is an indie game. that the composer is the guy who also voice acts for the main character.
Right.
Which is just amazing. Like, it's just phenomenal. Like, it's not a dude that's a professional voice actor. We talked about how good the voice actress is for Aloy and Horizon. It's just phenomenal. But she got paid a lot of money
right.
to do that.
Yeah.
Which she should, because she's great, you know. This is an indie title. Again, kind of super indie title, because Supergiant has established themselves at this point. But still an indie company that's putting out stuff. It's very obviously an indie game. It's very obviously not a AAA title when you play it. But they're putting out stuff that has that polish. And there's a lot of other indie developers that are doing that. I'm not trying to just say Supergiant's doing that and that's rare.
They just
it's actually a really super cool part of where the industry is right now. That there's tons of indie developers that do that stuff that's so well done and so polished. And the term indie is almost archaic at this point. It doesn't really capture what that part of the gaming universe looks like. So
there's a certain group of guys that do certain types of games very well. And that's where I would put these guys. Like,
absolutely.
They're all similar type games
yep.
with similar type skill sets. And
very similar art style.
Yes.
If like you like the art style of Bastion, if you like the art style of Pyre, this is going to be very similar to that. Very, very beautiful game.
Yeah. I'm glad you're having fun with it. We need to get back to The Last of Us. But at this point, I don't think it matters because Cyberpunk's coming in like 20 days. And I can talk all the crap I want. If somebody drops it in my lap, and he probably will, that's it. So
all that being said, we need to get to our news because we have a handful of things to talk about. We're going to start with next-gen stuff and talk about official launch titles. And it's so weird to talk about because this is just a weird console generation launch where one of the companies specifically is not really embracing it like a console launch. And so Xbox, we're going to go through their launch titles. There's not much there. Yeah. There's not anything that's going to get you excited. Sony has a little bit more, and we'll talk about them and kind of compare them. But just really quick, I'm not going to list everything on this list because a lot of it I couldn't even tell you what it is. But I'll mention the ones that are at least names that we're going to recognize, maybe not being super excited about. So Assassin's Creed Valhalla, this is all in alphabetical order. Borderlands 3, Dead by Daylight, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. This is all Xbox again, by the way. Dirt 5, The Falconeer, Fortnite, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Gears Tactics, Grounded, which, by the way, big ups to Duff's a copy of that as well. Maneater, NBA 2K21, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Sea of Thieves, Warhammer, Chaos Bane Slayer Edition. Cool. Watch Dogs Legion. So we got a couple of UB games right there. Yakuza Like a Dragon. It's fine. They're
so
fine games. But what on that list? Like, there's a couple. I really want to play Watch Dogs. I really want to play Assassin's Creed. And
right.
So a couple of big Ubisoft titles. But I can get those anywhere.
Right.
Literally anywhere. Those are all coming to Stadia.
And that's,
you know?
That's like, the point I was about to make. There is nothing on that list. As much as we talk about enjoying Game Pass and how amazing that is, and that'll make us buy a console and all that, there's nothing on that list that makes me say, man, I gotta have an Xbox in November. I gotta have an Xbox in November. On the other side of that, the PlayStation comes out and they got the killer app, which is Miles Morales.
Yep.
And
let me go through that list really quick
because
there's a lot of overlap. And so just to we know what we're talking about with both of these PS5 launch titles, again, in an alphabetical order, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Astro's Playroom, which apparently comes on the thing, like it's to show tech kind of thing, just a little fun thing. Borderlands 3, Bugsnax. Forgot about Bugsnax as a killer title. Call of Duty Black Ops, Cold War, Demon's Souls, so that's a big one. That's an exclusive. Devil May Cry 5, we saw that the other place. Dirt 5, Fortnite, Godfall, which is exclusive. Don't know that anybody's super excited about it, but it is exclusive. Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and then Spider-Man Remastered, both of those, big deal. NBA 2K21, Sackboy, A Big Adventure, Watch Dogs Legion, and so again, you get the two UB titles there. Plus, you get Miles Morales, which is the one, right? But you also get the Demon's Souls remake, which I think is a pretty big deal. That's one that I think, even though it's neither one of those games, let's be honest, neither one of those games is a new standalone title. One of them is a remake. One of them is an expansion, right? To an existing game. Neither one of those is a new standalone title. But that's still two games that don't exist on the Xbox world. And Demon's Souls, I believe we went back and forth about that. I don't remember now. Demon's Souls, is it PS5 exclusive or is it coming to PS4 as well?
I don't know.
I'll have to look. It is at least supposed to be a bigger deal on PS5, if not PS5 exclusive. And so there, all that to say, there's a reason that you need a PlayStation 5 if you're looking for some exclusive content, where there's not a reason for an Xbox for that same reason.
Right.
Now, the Xbox does have Game Pass. Of those games we mentioned, all the Gears stuff, so Gears 5 and Gears Tactics is on there. Grounded is on Game Pass. Dead by Daylight is on Game Pass. Ori and the Will of the Wisp, which if you haven't played, that's going to be amazing.
That's really good.
On Game Pass. Sea of Thieves is on Game Pass. And so you get a bunch of stuff that's on Game Pass. So if you got the box and you got Game Pass, you've got some really good games to play. But again, they're games that you can play just about anywhere else, including on PC for almost all of those currently. Almost everything right there on Game Pass is currently on Game Pass PC. So yeah, it's just a weird launch lineup for a new console that doesn't have anything. Really, like, what about the Xbox launch lineup is a reason to buy an Xbox Series X? I get the tech is a reason. I get, you know, like, we've got this more power, but there's just not software. Well, and that's really mind-blowing to me.
Here's the thing. And I'm not going to talk about this for 20 minutes because we've talked about how Game Pass will sell us a box, but I'm paying for Game Pass. I have access to all of those. And I just don't have to have one in November. That being said, we are not, I'm stealing a line from Mike and Tony from PCI. We are not the demographic they're selling to. That we're not those people. I think there's a lot of 12-year-olds out there and a lot of parents that will buy for the 12-year-olds, and this is the box they will buy. And I think Microsoft is happy with that. But I don't need this in November. I don't need it in December. I probably don't need it first of the year. I don't know. I'm going to have one because I have an accessibility controller. Thank you, Warfighter Engage. We got to get those guys on the show. I have an accessibility controller. I have Game Pass, which I will gladly keep paying for. And so I have to have a box at some point, but I can't tell you when.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's disappointing. I think that's the thing I feel most about it. Is I just wish that they gave me a compelling. I want the thing. I want to go buy an Xbox, but I don't need it soon.
No,
I want a PlayStation 5 too, and I need it sooner. And the thing is I'm going to convince myself I need one of them because next gen. We need all the pretty graphical power that comes from that. But if you're giving me, you know, again, all the Ubisoft stuff is every platform out there. And so why would I not play Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed on a PlayStation 5 as opposed to an Xbox Series X? It's not on Game Pass. And so that's the one selling point, but that's not there at this point. Yeah, we'll absolutely get one. And we've talked about Game Pass being that thing, but it's not time.
The PS5 we have to have in November at some point. I don't know where.
As soon as that's in stock, we'll have
one. Yeah, or probably two.
Sure.
Because I don't need to buy one. Like, there's no real reason for me to buy one, but I'm going to buy one. I've been debating this in my head because we've got to the point where we play games together. I'm either at your house with your PlayStation or you bring your PlayStation to my house. And you're going all digital, and so it's smaller, theoretically.
Except that PlayStation's massive.
So I'm trying to convince myself I don't need one, But then there's that thing that's like, okay, you host a gaming show, you kind of got to have one of these two boxes. And if you're defaulting, it's the PlayStation 5, hands down, got to have that as soon as it's available. So,
yeah. By the way, speaking of launch titles, of course, both of these consoles feature backwards compatibility. So the available libraries are going to be much larger than just, you know, those launch titles. We finally have a definitive list of PlayStation titles, PlayStation 4 titles that won't be backwards compatible. There are only 10 games on the list, of which I've heard of like two. Really, it's the games that aren't backwards compatible on the PS5 are DWVR, don't know what that is, Afro Samurai 2, TT Isle of Man, Right on the Edge 2, just deal with it, Shadow Complex Remastered, that one stood out to me.
Wow!
Yeah,
I have a copy of that, by the way.
I know. Yeah. I do, too. It's great, but they can re-release that, so who cares? Robinson, A Journey, We Sing, Hitman Go, Definitive Edition, which, again, Hitman Go is like a, you can get it on your phone. I don't need that on the PlayStation 5 necessarily. Shadwin and Joe's Diner. Those are the games that you can't play on the PlayStation 5.
Okay. I'm curious about Joe's Diner. I mean, because we like food. What was that? That was weird.
Let me, I'm gonna Google Joe's Diner really quick and see what this thing is, because I've never heard of the thing.
I mean, like, we like diners. We haven't said this in a while, but we love the Waffle House. So
the description of the game is, somewhere along venerable Route 7 in the middle of nowhere, you will find Joe's Diner.
All right, yeah, we gotta play that. Like, I'm gonna have my PlayStation 4 for a while.
It's like a horror game. It was an old diner built on the site of a former Indian cemetery. Great. Work over 30 night shifts as a holiday replacement in Joe's Diner. Keep things calm to not incur the angry chieftain's wrath. Yeah, that's,
we gotta play
that's
that.
One of the games you're not gonna get on the PlayStation 5.
That, well, one of us is gonna keep PlayStation 4, let's be honest. So
that's right.
I'm not too worried about that.
Get our hands on Joe's Diner. If anybody's played Joe's Diner, let us know. I want to
review
Joe's
Diner. I'm curious.
Drop that thing at the voicemail line. I want to hear about it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. We like food. That's all we can say. We like food. We like diners. It's weird.
All that said, let's shift a little bit to talk about streaming. So with the Xbox, that's going to be a big thing too. It's not quite yet, but it will be soon. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, just really briefly to mention, I think what is going to end up being an underrated story of this year is Amazon's streaming service. We mentioned this on the roundtable, but we haven't talked about it on an actual show yet. So just to bring it up here, because there's a little bit of news on it. But Amazon did announce their own game streaming service, which is called Luna. It's supposed to come out sometime next year, I believe, but the early access has begun, and so a handful of people have gotten invites to do that. We've seen Google get into this. Google has not had a lot of success with Stadia. It's still a thing. They just announced Cyberpunk is coming to Stadia on launch day, so awesome. That's cool. But there's a lot of issues with Stadia, obviously, the biggest being just the model of selling games a la carte. That's one thing Luna does differently. Luna is going to be a subscription cost that you get access to a large library with that, which makes a lot of sense. And I think is ultimately the way Stadia surely is going to go.
Well,
the other thing we had mentioned about Luna as well is it's going to be iOS compatible. And that's right now Stadia's not and xCloud isn't, though we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit about how Microsoft's going to work around that, which is essentially the same way that Amazon is working around that, is by doing it as a browser app. So you're not going to go download a Luna app or an xCloud app on your iPhone. But you're going to go to their, you know, site on, you know, Chrome or whatever Amazon's browser is, if they put out a browser, whatever it is. And then you'll get to play their service through the browser on your device. And that's how they're getting around the limitations of the app store, which makes total sense and just kind of a no-brainer.
So here's the thing with Amazon that is kind of freaky. There's so many Amazon services at this point, I don't even know what they all are. Like, we get free games on Amazon every month because we're Prime members. I've never redeemed a single one because I just don't think about it. Yeah. It's that thing that they have. It's like, okay, if you're a Prime member, you get this Twitch thing, and we got games, and I've never even gone to look. Like, that's the only service that I've never even gone to look. They got wardrobe service. They got a grocery service. This is another one of those Amazon services. And I love Amazon. You and I are big Amazon homers. Like, we get packages delivered to our houses at least 3 days a week, every week. It's insane. But the thing that bothers me about this is it's another Amazon service. And unless the difference with them will be that they have AWS. And so they have the ability with Amazon Web Service to really put together something that may actually work well for the vast majority of people. And if they do that, they may have a shot. But otherwise, like, I'm not sure I care. Like, we've done Stadia, and you like Stadia because you have a fiber connection. And they just need more stuff.
Yeah, the argument isn't about the tech. You're right. Stadia is great in that it works. But the service is flawed. Like, that's Stadia's problem. Stadia's problem isn't the tech. They've got the tech figured out. They just botched the service. That's the thing that Amazon might get right here. But again, all of them are playing second fiddle to Microsoft because Microsoft is proven. They could put the Xbox brand on it, and it's kind of a done deal. And Xbox is gaming. Amazon isn't gaming. We know Amazon has their game division. They make games. Like, they're putting out games. But that's, like kind of what you're saying is that they're just a little bit, like, overextended in so many different things. It's hard to think of Amazon in that way. And so,
well,
slap the Amazon name on it is better than not slapping the Amazon name on it because people know what Amazon is. But there's a billion Amazon products, and so it makes it hard for this to stick out, where there's a lot of Microsoft products too, obviously, but not in the same way and not across a whole bunch of different sectors.
Well,
Microsoft does tech, and they do gaming really well in that tech space. They're known for that. Amazon isn't.
Speaking of Microsoft tech, I had a meeting with Evie this week, and Evie was really excited this week because she saw a presentation on AI, and AI has been a big deal for the last couple of years in that it's coming. Well, it turns out that Bill Gates pretty much saw this AI tech that he really liked and just bought it outright because that's what Microsoft does. And so we're going to start seeing seriously good AI tech that remembers the last thing that it did. So, like, one thing that she was telling me about was they asked it to draw a picture. And, of course, when they started telling it, okay, we're going to give you a few things and then you draw a picture, it started out like a two-year-old. As it goes, it gets better and better because it remembers what it did last time and takes from it. And that's the new thing about AI, is that it can now go back to its own memory. And at some point, that stuff's going to be in Windows. And I guess my point is, the difference between Microsoft and Amazon is Amazon has the tech, but Microsoft can lock it up where nobody else can use it. You know, Amazon's a service company. That's what they do. Microsoft will probably succeed with xCloud because they're not going to share with anybody else. I mean, that's their thing.
Yeah.
And so it's two different ways to go about it.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that. The idea, I mean, that Microsoft, for instance, in AI has any kind of big advantage over Amazon. I don't see that. I think Amazon has the tech side of their company just as much as Amazon to be able to execute on those kinds of things in different applications. But
right.
the necessity of AI is already more involved in our daily lives than we are aware, and is going to continue to be more involved.
Right.
I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit because you made a connection to a story here in just a second about Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk, this is a really, really cool thing that they're doing with AI, is they will have lip sync dialogue in 10 different languages, because they're using AI to do the lip sync for the other languages that they're releasing the game in. And so instead of having to have actors do the lip sync for all the different things, or to dub over lips that are obviously out of sync, like we're accustomed to in the video game world, they're actually going to have synced dialogue, because the AI is going to redo the animations for the lips of the characters. We'll see how successful they are at that. But even if it's not perfect, is going to be better than, you know, watching whatever language come out of English dub lips. You know, like,
can we go off on a tangent for real quick? Are you hearing all this stuff is great, and we're excited about AI, and woo, we'll let the AI do the work, but I keep hearing Stephen Hawking in my head going, this is bad. This is bad. This, like, yeah. Like, do you feel that way? Because
I go back and forth, honestly, because I also get into the, like, Ray Kurzweil idea of the singularity, that we're getting closer and closer to that. And I don't know if that's a positive thing or not. You know, like, it's not stopping. We're not going to slow this train down, right?
I also
too much benefit to the world of AI for us not to embrace it. But yeah, it probably will kill us all.
I mean,
that's probably our demise, right?
Like I also have Sarah Connor in my head going, we're all gonna die.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. But it's going to be really fun, hopefully, before that comes, right? Like, it's going to be a better quality of life before it wipes us out. And is that worth the trade-off? That's the part I can't figure out.
But,
you know, got to go back and forth.
Ladies and gentlemen, that right there is the ultimate Tommy quote. It's going to be really fun before we die. You're like the most laid back dude I know, and that's really good. I think I feel the same way, because you know it's gonna be in the driverless cars,
yep.
And you know that's something I'm gonna use. Yep. Your wife is horribly paranoid about that, because at some point in the next 10 or 15 years, I'm going to show up at your front door and be like, hey.
Yeah.
So.
And just the idea of like getting to play games on my commute, because I don't have to drive it.
Right.
It's kind of appealing, right? Or whatever else, like catch up on work or email, or, you know, like it's going to be a benefit to life, but it's also going to take away a lot of people's jobs. And it's, yeah, it's a rabbit hole that is going to affect the rest of our lives, right? The rest of our natural lives are going to be wholly affected by AI and how that affects other technologies that we're used to. Gaming included. That's the fun one. Should be able to do lots of fun stuff in the gaming realm. Other stuff where it's going to kill us, maybe not as ideal. But.
So let's just wrap this up. Let's go back to Cyberpunk real quick. Is there any shot? Because that sounds like a really small thing that they're doing with the whole lip sync thing. But is there any shot that because this game has the expectations that it has, it comes out and everybody looks at it and goes, it's good, but I wanted the greatest game ever. And this is kind of another one of those things that's like, the lip sync sort of works. Yeah. I mean, like, it's better. I'm kind of like, I think I'm nervous because it's gold and it's done. And like every commercial has Keanu Reeves in it, which is kind of like, how much money did they pay that guy? I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I honestly think that's the most likely outcome, right? That the thing comes out and it's not, doesn't live up to the hype because the hype is so insane. It's just off the charts. It is something I've been trying to just reckon with personally a little bit of like, I think the game's going to be good. I think it's going to be really good because it's CD Projekt Red, and CD Projekt Red has proven they can make a really good, compelling story. And it's an environment, a world that I think is ripe for game play, right? Like it's to me, like the worst they could do in my mind of like those two things being together is still a really good quality game. It also is very likely not to be the best game ever released because there's, theoretically, for each person, one of those, right? Like, it's probably not going to be my favorite game of all time. And nor should we have that expectation. But should it be a Game of the Year contender? Yeah. If it's not a Game of the Year contender, something went very, very wrong, right? Like, if you're not looking at the end of this year between Cyberpunk and The Last of Us and saying which one of these games was better, like, CD Projekt Red at that point failed on some metric because the hype around it says that this should be one of the best games that gets released at minimum this year, probably for the past several years. Like, it just, that's the world that's around it at this point.
So here's,
and that's still the most likely thing, right? That's it's more likely than not that it's going to be a little bit disappointing based on the hype.
Here's why I'm like paranoid about it, because there were two Witcher games before The Witcher 3 came out. And can I just be Jamie Jordan and be blatant? They're really great games, but they were really, really broken. And they were so broken to the point that they sucked. And then The Witcher 3 came out of nowhere. And everybody was like, and now everybody's expecting that times 10 with Cyberpunk. And I just don't know how it, I don't know how it could possibly live up to that.
Yeah, the issue I would take on that is that those games were broken for you and I, and neither one of us has ever played much of the first two Witcher games just because of those issues. And not for no other people, but there's plenty of people that played those games and loved them. It's not like The Witcher 3 was out of nowhere completely because the first two were so broken that nobody had those experiences. The first two were already well-loved games, but in a relatively small audience, right? The Witcher 3 is the one that broke through and it really, really expanded the audience. And rightfully so, kind of made the legend of CD Projekt Red. They were kind of this underrated developer before Witcher 3, but they were well thought of. And then they turn into superstar developer after Witcher 3 because it's such a phenomenal game and so well done. I just was curious, so I pulled up the Metacritic scores to see that. It's obviously not the only metric, but to see them kind of laid out. The first game was an 86, the second game was an 88, Witcher 3 is a 91. And so Witcher 3 isn't even like a 97 on Metacritic or something like Breath of the Wild level or something like that. But it's, you know, obviously it's up there, 93 on PC. And so if you want to give it the highest score that it got on any platform, 93 on the PC, that's a darn good game. I think if Cyberpunk is an 88 on Metacritic, that kind of goes, you know, if Cyberpunk is a 82 on Metacritic, like that feels like a total bummer, right? And yeah. that's not true of any game. Like, if Assassin's Creed Valhalla is an 82 on Metacritic,
we're like, woo!
Awesome. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, like, it's just that hype game that's wild. And again, I hate using kind of Metacritic as that quantifiable number because it's so flawed in so many ways. But I think that's one way to think about it, right? Like, just what the kind of general critical review of it's going to be. It needs to be around a 90 on Metacritic to even be in the realm of kind of what the hype is. And it's very likely that it's not.
Well, and part of the reason that it's not is the same problem that something like Horizon has on the PC. For as much as I'm raving about Horizon, Horizon's got PC issues because it's not optimized. I mean, it's a port. And, yeah. and I have this fear that as hard as they try, Cyberpunk's literally going to be on everything, and that means it's going to have issues on PC.
I would definitely be most wary of the game on PC, right? Yeah. Like, that's a place where it's likely going to be the worst at launch. Maybe the place that it ends up being the best over time, because...
Mods, hello.
Right. But at first, is probably going to be the worst place to get it. If I were only playing it on PC, I'd probably wait a little bit. It's a game that I will likely pick up on PC at some point down the road if it's as good as we're hoping it is. Yeah. But it's a game I'm going to start out on console because I just trust that it's going to be better on console.
And you're going to own a PlayStation 5, so why not?
Right. As soon as I can get that thing, yeah. I might as well be playing Cyberpunk on it. So. All that said, let me mention just a couple other Cyberpunk things that we have in the show notes. You can go by the show notes. There's a couple of YouTube videos there that explain kind of the cars in the Cyberpunk world, which is really fun because they're cyberpunky and, yes. and crazy. And then one that explains like the fashion, the style in Cyberpunk world, which I actually enjoyed watching way more than I thought. Like when I saw that video pop up, I was like, I don't care. But I should watch it. See, and I watched it. I was like, this is great. This is awesome. I'm going to be like the Chrome dude, you know? Like, I got really into
they,
it.
They had a wire about a week ago, and those were what they focused on. And I almost sent you a text and said, yeah, there was basically nothing in there. The other thing that I'm hoping that you found that I got really excited about, and it made me smile because in this video, Keanu Reeves looked like we look today. The end of the thing, which made me smile, was they have decided that the bikes in the game are based off of his bikes that he builds. Yeah. Like, he has a custom bike company that if you got $100,000 to spend, he'll build you a custom bike. And I saw that and I'm like, okay, I'm way into that. I know Tommy be way into that. The rest of this I don't care about. So I don't know if you caught that or not, but he looked like, seriously, he looked exactly like we do right now. He's wearing a cap and the hair's all stringy. And he just said it like, yo, I'm Keanu Reeves. And he's standing with this dude. This, you know, he's just a dude. And I'm like, I have no idea who that dude is, but the guy standing next to him is Keanu Reeves. So,
yeah. yeah, absolutely. I love it, and I also worry about the heavy lean into Keanu Reeves on this whole thing, right? Like, when he came out at E3 last year, that was, like, a showstopper. It was so awesome. Like, everybody loved it. Right. Like, on and on and on. It was great. By the way, which happened at the Microsoft convention, right? We don't even talk about it in terms of whatever. But, like... The fact now that they're doing live action commercials with Keanu Reeves and that they're implementing the Keanu Reeves motorcycle line into the game, I'm actually getting to the point where I'm like, why are we needing to lean this much on Keanu in this? Like, I don't want it to be a Keanu Reeves game, right? Like, I don't need a Keanu Reeves. And so that's been a little bit of a red flag to me that, like, maybe they're compensating a little bit here by trying to get as much Keanu hype going because the game isn't going to quite live up to what they're hoping it was.
I mean, for crying out loud, if I find out that there is a John Wick avatar somewhere in Cyberpunk, I'm going to be scared to death because yeah. I'm like, hey,
But all that said, I kind of had the opposite reaction to the Nightwire, that the Night City Wire, that I actually dug the going through the cars and talking about the different types of vehicles, you know, and like, here's the high end, like super techie cars. Here's like the get you from place to place, like clunker cars, whatever they have names for. I don't remember any of them. But anyway, just to like, I think the driving's going to suck in this game. And yeah, I'm so excited about the cars. You know, like I'm still wanting to play that aspect. I'm still into the style of this, in part because it's just it's a novel setting for a AAA title. There's cyberpunk games that exist, and there's been a bunch that have come out in the past, you know, couple of years, and kind of the cyberpunk hype. But there's not a AAA game, you know, that's recent. I think of Deus Ex, you know, of something like that. That's kind of in this realm. There's stuff that's been done that's good, that's great, but hasn't been
okay
this level of hype, okay. Right? Like Deus Ex was never hyped like Cyberpunk is, or any other Cyberpunk type game. And so that alone has got me so pumped for this game. Maybe totally not correctly so, right? I'm just setting myself up for disappointment.
I'm going to tell you why you're all right. You're all right for the same reason that I am. So when we were growing up, we watched a lot of stuff and we watched a lot of sci-fi. And one of the things that I got really hung up on was Blade Runner. And I had said to myself a couple weeks ago, Cyberpunk's coming out. I'm going to watch Blade Runner, and then I'm going to watch 2049, and I'm just going to get into it. And what you're saying is there's nothing out or has been out that has put the Blade Runner world on the screen. Like, Cyberpunk is the closest to that. That, like, you walk into it, and you look around, and you realize, hey, you're in, you know, a version of L.A. in 2077, and here we go. I really do think it has a lot to do with Blade Runner, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, 2049 is really good. I really dug it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think it definitely, as weird as it sounds, there's something nostalgic for it. To us about it for when we grew up in that kind of wrecked world, right? The dystopian cyberpunk kind of milieu was a thing in kind of a lot of pop culture. And so not ever having seen that really executed in a video game means that it could scratch that itch for us, right? I know I've used that term a ton of times on this show, but I think that's true, right? Like this is something that's kind of in us in the era we grew up that we want to see,
right?
And we haven't necessarily in this way.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like a good Superman game. That's what it is. If that ever happens, it'll be on the same. It'll be the same thing. If they can pull this off. If they can pull this off and make me believe that I'm walking around with all the cyberware and all this stuff, like, forget 200 hours. I'm in it for 1,000. I'm like, we're talking about Skyrim here. That's what this is. And I think Deus Ex is a great comparison because, like, as much as I love those games, and I do, you've heard me rant on them forever, they're not that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Skyrim is the best we could hope for, right? Like, that's kind of the other end of the scale. Like, it becomes that kind of game where you just go back to it over and over and over and over again.
Okay, so I know we're, like, 2 minutes away from ending the show because your little girl is coming. I understand that. Before we do that, can we talk about the politics real quick?
So let me mention a couple of things here. Let me get in one other quick note, just because I'm super excited about it. Microsoft Flight Simulator, which we talked about a little bit, is starting a closed beta for VR. And that's what we talked about the game meeting. They're doing it. So, yeah, fantastic.
That'll be great.
The couple of politics things. First is in Animal Crossing, Joe Biden has an island.
I saw that.
You can go to Joe Biden's island. I did this earlier. Jay,
did I time that right or what?
Look at that. That's Joe Biden. That's right. So we went to the Joe Biden Island earlier at Animal Crossing. So that was fun. It's actually like they did a lot with it. There's cool stuff in there, like kind of shockingly so.
So I have not seen it, but I hear there's signs all around and various things. That's a really inventive idea.
It is. It's a really cool way to engage. Audience that wouldn't otherwise necessarily maybe care a lot. Doesn't mean that they're going to vote, but maybe, it's a novel way, as is the other example I'll mention here, which is Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did a Twitch stream in Among Us, which is a game we haven't talked about at all. It's this kind of viral game that's the way I kind of get it is like a digital version of Mafia that we used to play when we were young. You got everybody in a room and played Mafia. Like, this is the game version of it in a way. There's a saboteur and this space crew, and I don't really get it, whatever. But anyway, AOC, who's a young congresswoman, very polarizing, well-loved on certain sides and not as much on the other, but very, very savvy to tech in that world, did a live stream in Twitch playing AOC with some other, or playing Among Us with other people, and doing it as a kind of voter awareness, get out the vote effort. Which is super cool. It's okay. You better go see Mama. Go check on her. which is a really inventive way, again, to reach an audience that we're in the age of people who are coming of voting age have for sure grown up on video. We grew up on video games, and we've been voting age for 20 plus years at this point, right? But people who are coming of age right now are people who have come of age watching Twitch and watching YouTube streams and all that kind of stuff. And so it just makes sense.
The amazing thing to me is, and I said it earlier, they're not playing to us, because I've told it multiple times, I'd still use YouTube to learn something. I don't consume content on YouTube really, unless I'm trying to learn something. And so this kind of stuff is for the people that this is where they live. We're not those people, but it's a really great political move.
It makes a ton of sense, and it reaches an audience. It's a demographic that has a political leaning, and so it's not necessarily about changing minds, so there's probably going to be more of that coming.
Yes.
But it's really a platform for engagement. It's trying to get people who are going to probably vote a certain way, because they're in a demographic that generally votes a certain way, to actually vote, which isn't guaranteed, and they may not otherwise.
And
not getting into the politics of that, but getting into the actual using gaming as a platform. I think it's genius by them. I think it's a really great idea.
Real quick, I did not run this by you, so I'm just going to throw it out there. I voted last week, and I did the early voting thing. It took a grand total of 15 minutes. This is not a political show, but if you're on the fence, I don't know if I'm going to vote, there is no reason not to vote. You can go like for the next couple of days and still do early voting. Takes 15 minutes flat. I was in and out in 15 minutes. If you're on the fence, whether to vote, there is no excuse. Go vote.
obviously that matters on where you are.
Yes.
Other people have had very different experiences, but still, at the end of the day, go vote.
Yes.
You may have to wait in line a little bit longer. You may not have to wait nearly that long. You may be able to do it by mail. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if you're going to do it tomorrow, which is what we're going to do. We have a plan to go vote tomorrow.
Yes.
Or if you're going to do it on voting day or whatever. Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't care who you're voting for. Go vote. We could get into the politics. We can have that discussion. But at minimum, as citizens of this country, like, you don't have a lot of like super important responsibilities to keep our government functioning.
This is one of those.
But this is one of them.
Yeah.
You should do this. Even if you want to cast a protest vote, even if you want to go up and put in a ballot that has nobody checked, I don't care. But you should go do something. You should be engaged in the civil process in some way.
I would love to get a write-in vote. I would love to get a write-in vote.
Go vote for Jamie Jordan.
I would never see him, but I would love to get a vote. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't care. You should go vote. Get the sticker. Be proud of that. Wear a mask. I mean, do your things. Put it in the mail, whatever it is, but go vote.
Yes. 100%. Absolutely.
If AOC convinced you during her Among Us stream to go vote, fantastic. If Joe Biden's island on Animal Crossing, if you think both of those are insanely stupid things, which a lot of people are going to think both of those are insanely stupid things, go vote. I don't care. Go vote.
Just do it. And I don't use this last show, but I'm really trying to talking about leaning into stuff. We really got some words today. But I'm really trying to get with the Twitter. And so I'm tweeting and I'm getting better at it. And I said basically the same thing on Twitter. It's easy, and it's going to determine how the country moves in the next 4 years. It's not just the president. Your local races. It's stuff going on. Like we have something on the ballot, which I don't get to vote for because I don't live in the city limits, for a new civic center where I live and where you used to live around the area. So that's a huge deal. Little stuff like that can vastly be changed by your vote. So please go vote.
100%. No releases really to speak of. We're in that kind of weird place right now before the console launches. And so you go by the show. I was literally trying to find one to point out. Pumpkin Jack is maybe the best one. I have a clue what I just pulled up the video on Steam just to see it. It's got a 78 on Metacritic, and it's about the best I can do for you this week.
That's so just, nuts. Everybody's waiting on Cyberpunk and new consoles.
We have Watch Dogs next week. We have Assassin's Creed and Cyberpunk within the month. There's about to be a lot. This is the last week that there's going
to
be nothing. And so
I'm
really excited to see what those Watch Dogs reviews are. And then obviously, as soon as those Cyberpunk reviews start dropping, that's going to be the really, really interesting one.
I know you and I are both very conscious about our nose, because I'm like, I'm taking a couple nuts. You taking a couple nuts.
I am a face toucher.
Yeah.
I'm a fidgeter, and we've talked about that a ton on the show, and so people watching me now have seen me fidget with a million things over here. I have a comb that I've like ripped out half the teeth of. I don't know if you can see that.
I love
but
it.
Just because I fidget with it so much, it's like missing teeth. I've just got random stuff here. But yeah, my nose is one of those things that I do that a lot.
Yeah. So a couple of things before we wrap, we have
to wash your hands.
Yes, that definitely. Which by the way, I just have to say, I'm writing material for a November, like a Thanksgiving special stand up. They asked me to write 20 minutes. And so I'm writing material. I think it's mind-bending at this point that we have to tell people to wash their hands. Like, who's not washing your hands? Yeah. Who's not doing that? But apparently somebody's not. So anyway, yeah, definitely do that. Wear a mask. I did when I voted. Not that hard. Thank you.
Yep.
Couple of things before we get out of here. So this is probably going to go longer than it needs to go, but we have new hardware that is sitting right next to me. We have a brand new Oculus Quest 2, thanks to Duff. It showed up 2 days ago, and I'm excited. I know you're really excited, and the reason you're mostly excited is now that we have two of them, the newest one can live in your house, which is awesome. I'm excited to get into it. I know you are too. Duff is doing Duff type things, and that makes me happy. We are two very, very lucky dudes. And if we don't say it often enough, thank you, sir. And thank you to all of the Patreon guys. We're doing this video now, and we'll do it till the end of time because we feel guilty. And this is Patreon content. So there you go. Genevieve's back. It is time to wrap the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening on the regular podcast and you need an excuse to become a Patreon, there's a little girl on the screen sitting in Tommy's lap. That's your excuse.
Yeah,
she's adorable.
She's also eating veggie straws right now, so yes. You hear the crunching in the background.
Yeah.
They're right there.
Last time it was string cheese.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with a veggie straw, little girl? What does that taste like?
It's so crunchy.
It's crunchy. It's like celery. It looks
it
like
good?
Celery.
They're just these little weird straws.
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
I'm old. Like no clue.
Vegetable puree. That is just salt. It's just a salt bomb like a chip.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Hey, little girl, you are very cute today.
You say thank you.
Very cute today. And it's time to wrap the show. Are you ready to wrap the show?
Do you remember what to say? What do you say? Say, we're gaming uncensored. With your mouth full of veggie straws. And we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.